I said the Lord is good. All right, as we begin our study, let's declare the word of God. Let's start. One, two, go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I am being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I am increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ear to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it is making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus. All right, amen. Amen. It's refreshing, isn't it?
Yes.
The Lord is good. Let's quickly get into our teaching. That's our prayer. We have been looking at total faith, and we want to continue the issue of total faith. Again, I want us to just start from a particular verse of scripture that we have been reading. Let's just take it again, the book of Mark chapter 11. It's our main text. Let me just this time around back up a bit. In verse 12, the Bible says, on the next day when he had left Bethany, he became hungry. Seeing at a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if perhaps he will find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not yet the season for figs. Verse 14, he said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And the disciples were listening. Now go to verse 20. And as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. Being reminded, Peter said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered." And Jesus answered, saying to them, "Have faith in God." Or literally in Greek, he says, "Have the faith of God." The Amplified tried to explain that. He says the Greek actually says, "Have faith in God constantly." And we have been looking at that as the definition for the word, for the expression, the faith of God. And now when I had to explain in verse 23, "Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, he says it will be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, if you can believe that you have received them," now that's my own expression there, "that if you can believe," and it's taken from many things in the scriptures. I believe the Lord Jesus was giving them as a condition. He said, "Believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you." Now, we're going to stop reading there. That has been our main portion of the scriptures that we have been taking this thing from. Total faith. And we have been looking at what this is about. Last time, I wanted to do a small review, but the Holy Spirit took over and said, no, we should go in another direction. And I ended up explaining extensively again why faith is so important and how we must, let me say it again, how we must work, pray, study, do whatever we need to do to activate the faith to release our destiny. That God holds us responsible. Let me just really say that for a minute or two. You can't, if God wanted you to achieve great things for Him in this life, let's take, because I'm a preacher, it's an easier example for me. Assume He says, preach all over the world, broadcast this message, all right, around the globe. Or as a businessman, He says, build businesses so that tens of thousands of people will be employed. Or He says, as a mother, "I want you to raise for me the next generation of generals." Whatever it is, let me say something to you quickly. Life will always give you reasons why those things will not happen. It is your responsibility to activate faith, to believe God so that those things will come to pass. You will not say, "God, if you had made it happen, I would have done it." God says, "I want you to ask me for the nations. I will give them to you as an inheritance." Don't just sit down there and say, "Look, things are difficult." I want you to get up and say, "I want this nation. I want Eastern Nigeria. I want the whole of Nigeria. I want West Africa. I want the whole of Africa. I want the whole world. God, give it to me." Like this man, John Knox, was reputed to have said that he would kneel down to pray and say, "Lord, give me Scotland or I die." That used to be his prayer. "God, give me Scotland or I die." That was a prayer that he prayed constantly. Let me remind us of the meaning of the word grace again. Grace means that God opens the door, you step through it. Grace means that if you put through a switch, light fills a place. Grace means that God will do great things. Grace is when Moses takes a rod, stretches the rod over a sea, and the sea part. That is what grace is. But Paul said, for grace to come, it must be activated by faith. What am I trying to say here? If John Knox was going to get Scotland, it was not as if he was going to mount a personal campaign to get Scotland. He was going to activate the getting of Scotland by faith. Are you getting my point? And then God will release grace, all right, on his path, and he will be able to take the whole of Scotland. And that's what he did. Now, I'm trying to emphasize to us that our destiny, we have to work on it, not by consciousness, not by trying to scheme humanly, but by stretching our hearts of faith to believe God. Let me say it again. Believe God for great things. Do you understand? Believe God for great things. If you're a preacher, believe God that this word that you are preaching will reach multitudes. Believe God. Ask him that he will send money in your direction so that you can do what is necessary to do with money. Ask him that he will send technology in your direction so that you can do what technology will do to help you broadcast the gospel. Ask him to send skill in your direction. People that have the understanding of how to deploy technology to help you preach the gospel. Ask him for it. If you're a businessman, you're a businesswoman, the same thing. If they say that this thing cannot be done in Nigeria, everybody's going to China to go and do it. Sit down and say, Lord, give me this thing in Nigeria or I die. Are you getting my point? You begin to ask him for things. Listen, it might take a year, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, maybe 20. But eventually, if your faith is persistent, if you are walking in patience, grace will be released. Investors will come and they will seek you out. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. That is what I'm emphasizing here, talking about your destiny. Don't just lie down there and say, whatever will be, will be. No, I have realized God is not saying that. God says, you activate things by faith. When you are beginning to activate things, God will give you a higher level of faith than the one you even started out with. I'm going to talk about it today. I hope I can get there. That faith is a seed. When I say faith is a seed now, it means that if you have small faith, if you use it, God gives you bigger faith. Before you can accomplish anything, God will have to give you the faith. We used to hear those days that, listen, you can't ask God for faith. I was discussing with my wife today. I said, no, I don't believe it anymore. I was there and they said, people say, you can't ask God for faith. Faith comes by hearing. If you study the word of God, faith will come. It's not like that. You can ask God for faith. I have found out you can ask God for faith. And I have scriptures for it. You will see Jesus said, Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you off like wheat. All right? He said, but I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. His faith was sustained by the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? That's very important. A man came to Jesus. In Mark chapter 9, we'll read it again and again. He said that, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. At a point in time, the disciples looked and said to Jesus, increase our faith. And it wasn't that telling them that, listen, no, you can't pray for faith. You have to go and study. Listen to me. The ability to believe. I was watching TV the other day. In fact, I was angry with them because I was enjoying the program, but they were not finishing it on time. A man was trying to locate where the Garden of Eden was, all right? So I was following it on National Geographic. But after a while, but at the point in time, they interviewed a professor of theology. And I said to myself, God has not granted this man faith for salvation. You see what I'm saying in a moment. Let me quickly say something. I'm not saying that only those who God gives the gifts can be saved. I am saying that if you stretch, all right, God will give you what is lacking. That's why I said, I believe. Help my unbelief. The man was speaking. By the time he finished talking, you think Moses is a forger. That Moses was a forger, that he sat down and forged the records of Genesis down to Deuteronomy. The man was speaking and said, with all the book this man has studied, he can't even believe. Then the scripture came to my mind again. I realized that God can block people's ears so that they can't believe. I think we should start from that. All right? Isaiah chapter 6. What I'm trying to emphasize is that we must make faith our object. We must walk towards it. We will pray. That's the area I just went into. And say, Lord, the faith to do this, give it to me. And you see what I'm saying in a moment. Let me just say it again, please. Ask God for great things. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Before Isaiah chapter, where did I say? Chapter 6. You can open Isaiah chapter 6, but put a finger there of your device has multiple windows. Open one Isaiah chapter 6. Quickly, let's go to this other one. This one is Psalm 2. Please go to Psalm 2. I want to read something. Somebody say total faith. Oh, this is very important. Because of time, I won't read everything. From verse 1, it says, I'm going to jump many verses, all right? Just want to get it from the beginning. Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? And I described the things that the kings of the earth were deciding amongst themselves. They wanted to rebel against the lordship of the sun. It now said in verse 4, he who sits in the heavens laughs, the Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, now listen to this, the Lord said to me, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. Please notice that. This was the Lord speaking. He said, the Lord has said, I am his son. And as part of the things that he was saying to me, he said, ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. Let me digress once again. Further, I will find my way back. All right. To explain the principle here. Anything, the Bible says that God gave Jesus as a head of all things to the church. What was he saying? Jesus is a gift of God to the church. What that means is that everything that the Lord, you know, Jesus did like this. All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He said, go therefore. What was he saying? I got the power to empower you to go. I hope you get my point. I got the power. I'm not taking it to heaven. I am leaving it for you on the earth so that you can go with it. He said to them simply when he was teaching them, and that's in that book of Luke chapter 10, when he was speaking to them earlier. He said to them that, behold, I give you power. Are you getting my point? Everything that the Lord Jesus got, it was so that he could give to the church. That's what the Bible meant when it was saying that it was given as the head of all things to the church. Please get my concept here. If you hear the Lord say, the Lord said to me, what he was saying, this is a gift that God has given me. I collected it for the church. I don't know whether you're getting my point. It looks like I've lost you a bit there. Listen, when the Bible says that he rose again and sat in the heavenly places, what did he say? He said, and we rose together with him, and we are seated where? I can't hear him. We can hear you. No, the emphasis is we are seated with him in heavenly places. The reason why he came down was so that when he will be rising, he will take you with him. Are you getting my point? It's very important you understand that. That's why Jesus died. He said that it pleased God in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. That is, when God wanted to bring you to glory, the Lord Jesus came and went through everything he went through, so that in his rising, you will rise up together with him in glory. What's my emphasis? When he says that the Lord said to me, this is a privilege of being a son, ask of me and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance. What he's saying here is this. This is the thing I have given to the church. If they understand, if they know, if it becomes clear to them, they will understand that what God is saying is, ask of me, and I will give you the very nations of the earth and the ends of the earth as your possession. Please, I'm trying to get into the main thing I'm trying to say. Why am I saying all of this? I want to emphasize to us that when you read this kind of scripture, when it says, ask of me, what was he saying? The Lord Jesus was not talking about himself alone. He's saying that this is where I am bringing the church to. This is what I created for the church to live in. What is he saying? It's very simple, you know, very easy for us to point fingers and look at people and wish we were like them. Are you getting my point? For example, you're a businessman and you hear of people doing business and they're discussing $500 million worth of business, and you do all your, you've been doing for the last 10 years, all your turnover, in how many years? In 10 years. They convert them to dollars at today's rate. You don't like to tell us. You get my point? This is a natural human response. Just forget the thing. And we're just like, that's how God wants it. If God wanted us to, he will have. Yes, there's a little bit of truth to that, but it's less than 5% of the truth. If that is your area of calling, if God stirs up that kind of desire in your heart, you know what he says? Ask of me, I will give you the nations as your inheritance. Instead of looking at people and deciding that they are lucky, decide that, is that the kind of realm I want to operate in? Does it seem fitting to my calling in life and my goal? The kind of calling that I believe that God has called me to walk in and the gifts that I have. If that is the case, what do? I ask of him. Listen, if you're a preacher, you know, because I'm a preacher, so don't mind my examples are very preacherly. Do you understand? When I sit down, maybe I'm sitting down watching TV. You can be hearing revelation, and I also try to hear revelation, all right? But beyond the revelation that they are sharing, sometimes I look at the recording, the studio, at some point. I'm looking at the production, and I'll just be praying, say, Father God, give me something like this. And believe me, he's been doing it bit by bit. One thing I like is that, now, it's not good to praise yourself, but let me just try small, all right? It's a bit of foolishness when you're praising yourself. But one thing I like about our sound, there's no way I've carried it to radio recording everything that it doesn't come, that they won't say, this is clear. Even with low budget. The day I told somebody I record in my bedroom, he was surprised. Thought I'll go to the studio and pay for recording sessions. No, God gave us the wisdom so that with the little budget we had, we got very clean and clear sound. I've been to places before. See equipment. At the end of the day, I won't buy this tape. Sorry, something happened. Said, why should something happen? With this kind of equipment you have? Now, you know what I'm saying? That I just observe things. My heart longs for it. I watch TV production. I say, God, I like this. I like this. In the midst of this, dollar is expensive. I began to pray again. Say, God, it's not only Omega Channel will be on. We will go to order this thing. This thing has to go around the world. Are you getting my point? And you know the truth? All he says is what? Fight and fight hard. Make connection. Phone people and beg. Is that not so? Look for gimmicks to raise the money. Raise partners. Print flyers and brochures and stuff like that. Was that what he said? What did he say? Ask of me. I was talking with one lady once. She's a preacher. We're just talking about things. Met her when I went to minister in Asaba. And she said something. You know, people were talking about private jets and all of that and stuff like that. So people will be calculating how much money it takes to acquire one and how much money it takes to fund to run it. She made a statement to me which struck me. He said that, look, that Kenneth Copeland said that you don't need to buy it, you need to believe for it. The thing hit me, bam! Let's not discuss whether you need a private jet or you don't. Now, but if you end up needing, you know what she said in effect? What the men of God were teaching? That's not about looking for where will I get the money. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations as an inheritance. You know what I found out? And that's why we're doing this teaching again. Jesus looked. He said, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? That it is not resources that are scarce, it's faith. It's not money that is scarce, it is what? Faith. That people will, you know, stir themselves up to believe. Yesterday and today, I was just thinking. Actually, one of our brothers gave me a testimony during the week. And I said, God. If I go home, I told my wife, Oh, that we will get this spirit of faith and get in a big measure. Faith is what we need. Are you getting my point? Faith, he said, he was sick until one day he just heard the word being taught. And strength came to him and said, no, this is where my salvation is. He had that thing play. And listen, let me tell you something again I said earlier. Faith is not how I just want to feel. It's a spiritual substance. If it is there, it works. If it's not working, ask yourself, is it there? Ask of me, and I will give you the nations as an inheritance. God is saying, you have struggled enough. You don't ask for things in faith.
People will ask, but they trust in their labor. You know why God gave you a certificate? Gave you a job? Gave you something? He said, be busy until I show up. But what I will bring is a result of ask of me, and I will give you the nations as an inheritance. Let me say it to you again. What you are doing today is not where your destiny lies. I said before, all your activities, one is given to you to keep busy. God doesn't like idleness. Two, in the multitude, you must understand, the multitude of merchandise is what changes your spiritual character. He said concerning Satan, by the multitude of your transactions, you have filled the midst of thee with violence. That taught me something. The multitude of transactions is supposed to fill your heart with something. So why God gives you the multitude of transactions every day? You go out, you come in, you read, you work, you get a salary, you have money to spend, you get broke, somebody annoys you. It's in the midst of this, something must be filling your heart. So what the word of God does is that experience, all these experiences are supposed to build up faith and obedience in the heart of the believer. That's why I gave you work. That's why I gave you something to do on a daily basis. But what really is going to be your portion, your destiny? It's not dependent on those things. Those are the places where you qualify, where you build up faith, where you build up integrity, where you build up ability. That's all. Spiritual ability now. Spiritual substance. Like I say all the time, until I got married, I thought I knew how to obey God. I didn't know how God felt with disobedience. It was when I got married, I began to understand some things. It was when my wife began to have children that I understood the father heart of God. I hope you are getting my point. Experiences in life, they are supposed to fill us with spiritual substance. A brother told me something yesterday. He said, I'm just thinking about the faithfulness of God. He said, when I first got a job many years ago, I earned a salary. I'd read a lot about the stock market. And I wanted to invest in GT Bank. Because of what he had learned. So he got his money. He said something in him, of course, we understand is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said to him, what is the issue? You want to invest in... Now, listen to me. He ended up doing market investment and all of that. But get this principle. The Holy Spirit told him that, listen, you invest on the earth or you invest in the kingdom. So he thought to himself. He reasoned and said, it's not time for this physical investment. So the church was going to that time. He took a huge chunk of the money. He gave us as offerings. I can imagine that he gave money around and said, no, I beg, my investment is in heaven. He was telling me something. He said, now I look back at the share price of GT Bank then and now. He said, it has gone up between 6 and 7-fold. He said, but my salary has gone up 23-fold. Did you get that? That my salary has gone up 23-fold, but what I wanted to pour money into had gone up 6 to 7-fold. Now, let me just say something, by the way. If I had done that, I'm adding my own words now, I would think I did well. But I won't know that if I kept my eyes focused on something else, I would do much better. Listen, ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. With our experiences in life, listen, don't joke with your life running after what unbelievers are running after. As we're coming down, as I entered the car, I put on the radio, which is not very usual with me. And they were playing a song. A woman said, I was singing all this anglicized Yoruba music and all this, dibanj, all those kind of people. They were singing something. Well, I noticed a few lines there. He said, I go build house. I go buy land. I go drive motor. That's the song. I just said, foolishness. See goal in life. I don't know whether you're getting my point. And I was telling myself, as we were driving down, I said, this is how human beings live. Foolishness. That, and unfortunately, Christians will also make this as a target in life. It's not supposed to be. God gave us activities in life to fill our hearts with a spiritual substance that gives us the ability to take hold of greater things by faith. That's why he gave us activities. So we have to be careful And, you know, let me digress again. Don't lie to yourself in this life. I found that God cannot help somebody who will be deceiving himself and herself. What do I mean? If in life, why are you like this? You point fingers. It's because they just know you are a proud man. You're a proud woman. You're not going anywhere. Isn't what I'm saying so? Life will let you know that you love money. Life will let, God, no, not life. God will let you know through experiences that you love money. He will let you know through experiences that you are proud. He will let you know through experiences that you are impatient. He will let you know through experiences that your anger, your temper is too hot. He will. These are the things he does for you. He said, these are the reasons why you will not walk into your inheritance. So why did I give you a job in that office where the boss is very tough? I need you to have the cool head to be able to have, that is, you should be meek enough to handle a tough boss. And God said, you are going to stay there until I get that point into your thick skull. Otherwise, no inheritance. I have seen people all the time, you know, that's why I said, listen, in life, I want to try and get back to the main thing I was trying to say. Get my point. In life, pride, there are many definitions for pride. I think was it earlier, later last year or earlier this year, I explained a particular principle. Pride is once you point fingers, something outside, people outside, for the reason why I'm not doing well. That's pride. Why is my business not doing well? You know I'm in Nigeria. You know, God calls you a proud man. Why am I not getting promoted at work? You know, it is because my boss hates me. The Bible calls it pride. No matter how clear it looks like to you, you are not allowed to use that as an excuse ever. So what will I say? Why am I not getting promoted? The season is not due. The Lord is still working on me. Leave it like that. Leave it like that. Don't add any other thing. Why are you not being promoted? I told you, the man doesn't like me. Look at my appraiser. I didn't do anything to him. What happened was that day. You know, is that telling stories? You may say, what if it's true? Listen, why did Job lose his goods? Was it not because the Sabians and the other people attacked him? But that's just the physical reason. What I'm saying is, as a child of God, you take your eyes away from the physical reason and go to the higher reason, the spiritual reason. And God says, this is pride. Once you reason on the physical level. For example, what's wrong with our economy? Nigerians still believe it's government. And that thing annoys me. Nigerians believe it's government. It is not government. I'm not an ignorant man. No. If you want to start analysis, Bishop Roque and I this morning were still talking about why the dollar went high against the naira and why the naira was falling. What happened to international price of crude? We analyze it in details. We know what happened to the Chinese economy that reduced demand. We know what reduced demand from the United States. And so China stopped buying as much as before. U.S. stopped buying because they started, you know, drilling, what they call fracking. They started producing more oil. I know all of that. But that's a physical thing. So I'm not an ignorant man. I know how we're depleting foreign reserves, but listen to me, that is not the real reason. Those are the Sabians that are attacking our flock. Those are the east winds that are collapsing the house on the children of Job. The real reason is spiritual. If you want me to tell you why, there are two reasons why the economy is tanking like this for us in Nigeria. There's a church reason and there's a world reason. The world reason is that people are very wicked. The spiritual atmosphere of wickedness. But the church reason is because when God was prospering people abundantly, they went to their paneled houses. That's the summary of it. We preached it last year when we were talking about the advance of the kingdom. I'm going to emphasize to us, listen, never ever, in the midst of the economic hardship, if you suffer anything, don't blame Jonathan. Don't blame any government. Some people are already blaming Buhari for why their life is not going anywhere. Forgetting that their lives haven't gone anywhere in 6 years. And Buhari only came here less than a year ago. That is what the Bible calls what? Pride. Beware of pride. Pride is when you're always pointing fingers. We are all used to the pride of, I'm better than everybody. Why is he talking to me like that? We are used to that pride. This is the kind of pride many of us are not used to. And that is the one that hurts Christians the most. The pointing of fingers. Back to my message. Why did I go into all of that? To emphasize that, listen, anytime God takes us through experience in life to say, listen, oh boy, oh girl, realize that my boy, David, you're a wicked man. Say, no, I'm zealous for the Lord. Look at how I've conquered territories for the people of God. I killed Goliath. God said, David, you're a wicked man. God showed it to him once. I believe in the house of Nabal was when the man should have first realized the kind of human being he was. He didn't get the point. When he was getting old, God said, listen, let's teach this guy a lesson. What lesson is it? Remove the protection that's protecting him from committing adultery. It is not strength that keeps you from sin. It's grace. It is not strength that keeps you from sin. It is grace. Brother David did not understand it. So God said, all right. Okay, the grace angels. Goodness, mercy, leave his sight for a moment. So goodness moved back, mercy moved back. Then suddenly, see, when you start seeing things that were not there before, the things didn't just come. You are the one that just started seeing. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You think anything new, okay? That woman suddenly looking attractive. She's been working with them for the last 6 years. It is you that changed, not her. She didn't just show up. Suddenly the guy is now seeing women basing. It's not the woman that decided to base. It is that the protection of grace keeping him from iniquity. That's why Jesus said, pray like this. Deliver us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from doing evil. That's what he said. What he was saying, that lead us not into temptation, but keep us from doing evil. Powerful prayer there. Very powerful prayer. In David's case, the Lord said, well, if that's the way you want it, I've been trying to correct you gently, you don't want to listen, fine. And you know the story of Bathsheba? How Bathsheba became pregnant, and Uriah had to be murdered. Why could God not have kept Uriah from being murdered? He could have. But he said, if I do, David would die thinking he's a good man. And the consequence of his sin would not be a blessing on the generations of the earth. Let's kill this guy and kill his descendants. And you must understand the cure of descendants. Let me not go there anyway. Because the cure is not only for David, it's for you and me. The suffering of Job was not only for Job, it was for you and me. There's a principle of descendants. So you know what happened? You know what God was trying to achieve? One thing. Psalm 51. God just wanted a man to get to the point and say, have mercy upon me, because truly I'm a sinner. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. That's all the Lord wanted to hear. That was why Nathan came. You know why I'm saying this? God is exposing you to you every day. Without the substance, the spiritual substance inside your heart being properly built, you do not have the capacity for faith. That's what I'm trying to explain. Faith is not how stubborn-hearted and bold you are. Faith is a spiritual substance which God pours into people who have their hearts properly prepared. That's what I'm going to emphasize. Faith is not, I've read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, I have so much knowledge, faith is natural. No! Faith is a spiritual substance which God has control of. And he pours into people when their hearts are prepared. My message in this whole series has been on this preparation of heart, so as to build up the capacity to release, to receive the spirit of faith. I used to think faith was, you read plenty, when you have enough scripture in your head, it's a lie. Jesus said it, you said the scriptures thinking that in them you have life. When you said thinking, it was obvious that they were erroneous in the thoughts. He said, the scripture themselves don't do anything.
He said, they testify of me. They should have directed you to me, that I am the one that give life. Life is in the Son. Life is in Christ Jesus. Life is in Him and in Him alone. He said, what about the scriptures? The scripture is the testimony of the kind of life that is in Him. So when you read something, they say, ah, Christ, this one is inside you. That means I'm tapping into that. You cannot use the scripture without Jesus flowing into you. We're talking about life. Life. It's a living substance. It's not about quoting scripture. The scripture is a testimony of the life that is in Christ Jesus. That was why with all the scriptures that the Jews knew, they didn't have life. Because life was in the Son. I'm talking about our experiences. God is saying, listen, what I'm building in you is a capacity to receive the life, to receive the spirit of faith. It's not because you memorize scripture. I said we should open somewhere when I began to say this. Let's read that one. Isaiah chapter 6. For you to see how faith comes and how it does not come. Isaiah was talking about his experience, how he went there and he saw the glory of God, his robe filling the temple and all of that. In verse 8, he said, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. He said, now listen to this. Go and tell these people. Keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of these people insensitive, and their ears dull, and their eyes dim. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. Are you following that? God said, I want to judge these people. What's the first judgment? Make them deaf, make them blind, make their hearts insensitive. So that they would not be able to understand truth and return and be healed. What am I going to say here? The ability to understand, which is what faith is, God removed it from the people by the prophesying of Isaiah. By declaring those words, the people became incapable of having faith. That's why I said to you us earlier, that when he came to the Lord Jesus, he first sent John the Baptist ahead. And he told John, go and prepare the hearts of the people. How would they do it? Let them just obey the things that are easy to relate with. Which Isaiah said, which Jeremiah said, which Moses, let's begin with Moses, which Moses taught them the law, which the prophets have prophesied concerning. He said, let them repent. Baptize them with a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Everyone who listened to John was able to hear Jesus. But the ones that did not listen to John, the word of Isaiah was fulfilled in their case. And Jesus said it. He said, concerning this one, it's been fulfilled. That which was spoken by Isaiah. Keep on listening, but don't perceive. Keep on, looking, don't understand. Their ears were rendered dull. Why? Because the time of preparation of faith, the people did not participate. Like I said the other day, it's not easy for a man whose family you know to come and tell you, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood. Now, what am I emphasizing? I'm emphasizing the point that, listen, with all the difficulty concerning what Jesus came to do, people were able to believe because their hearts were prepared by John. When they obeyed John, now, this is actually the message I was going to. Remember I said that what God is doing all of these things is to prepare our hearts. It is what you can believe for that's going to come into your life. I hope you're getting my point. Through your experiences, it's preparing your heart. Your relationship between you and your wife is preparing your heart. Between you and your husband, preparing your heart. Between you and your children, preparing your heart. Between you and your boss, preparing your heart. Between you and the bus driver that takes you to work, preparing your heart. Between you and your employees, preparing your heart. Your colleagues in the office is preparing your heart. Why? He wants to pour a spirit of faith into it. When people did not respond well to John, the words of Isaiah, these negative words were fulfilled in their lives. But it's supposed to be the opposite for us. Anytime you see the word great faith, let me quickly explain that. That's why I wrote the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. Anytime you see great faith, it is a fruit. It's not a seed. It means that the seed of faith was sown at a time. I don't know what I heard I said. Okay, that's where I was going, building these things up to. If God is going to do great things for us, it will be because our hearts were prepared and we received that spirit of faith. There was something I was saying earlier. I said that sometimes we talk as if, no, people cannot pray for faith. It's when you just study plenty. You should speak like those people spoke. Lord, increase our faith. When he told them, forgive somebody who offends you 7 times, they said, please, increase our faith. That for us to be able to obey this, we need a higher level of operation of faith. A man came to the Lord and said, I believe, help my unbelief. But Jesus said something that time when he said, increase our faith. He said, if you have faith as a mustard seed. Now, there's something about that I want to just bring out. The fact that he said faith as a mustard seed, the emphasis is on the word seed. Seed. This is my understanding about faith. Every day in life, God gives us the opportunity to plant the seeds of faith. Number one seed of faith is repentance. We've talked about that. Repentance from every defilement that God reveals to you. That's a number one seed of faith. Bishop and I were in my house today and we're talking. I said strongholds. You know what they call strongholds? Strongholds are things that hold you strongly. So you can't operate by the word that you have heard. And stronghold is something that God cannot do anything about, no matter how much scripture you hear, until you personally bring it to him and say, Lord, this is my stronghold. Then he breaks it. What do I mean by strongholds? Strongholds are ideas that we hold on to that are not founded by God, not founded on the word of God, but we hold on to them rigidly. I give you a very simple example. There are strongholds of if I don't go to America, I won't prosper. Preach from now till tomorrow. Eh? The guy has that thing locked in his heart. He may not talk about it, but if it's deep inside there, it inhibits him from receiving the spirit of faith to be able to prosper locally. That's a stronghold. There are strongholds of I must marry a rich man because I don't want to suffer the way my mother suffered. Very common stronghold. And that's one of the major leaders to poverty. He said, a man with an evil eye runs after money, but does not know that poverty will come upon him. Those are strongholds. There are all kinds of strongholds. If a girl is from this kind of home, I can never marry her. Let me say something about strongholds again. You know, I talked about the seeds of faith. Let me say this one quickly. Everything in life is either a seed of faith or a seed of unbelief. It will either generate faith for you or generate unbelief for you. I'm talking about this capacity to receive the faith to be able to ask God for the nations of the earth. Last week, I explained the fact that, listen, you have to activate your destiny by faith. You have to be able to get up and say, listen, all I've been doing all this while is selling phones and repairing phones. I want to move up to the level of which we are the one owning cell sites and controlling phone signals.
We want to be the ones manufacturing the phones. The next generation of phones, I have to be involved in manufacturing it. How do you do it? Ask of me. That's all. To be able to get to that point is what I'm discussing. Where when you ask, you are asking in faith. I was talking about strongholds. Serious, serious hindrance to the release of faith. Every choice you make in life is either building up your faith or building up your unbelief. I gave you a story of a young man who was supposed to marry a woman and refused because he called her unclean. And I said to you, be careful. Where to pay back later? It will be in the time when God says, ask of me and I will give you the nations and inheritance in your business. He will suddenly discover the inability to ask. I must talk about that ability again. Once I was listening to Kenny Hagin teach, and he was praying for one man. He said he was praying for one man. The man was sick. And he came, I think he laid hand on the man. I can't remember the details now. Because he was a prophet, God used to give him interesting visions. He said, suddenly, the Lord told him that, I want to heal him, but he won't receive it. Now, look, there are things that I have seen in life and I've meditated. I said, life is not the way people think it is. Because then as a young man, why would God want to heal a man? And a man will say no. This man had prayed and prayed. People had prayed. Then suddenly he had a vision. That this man of God had a vision. And he saw the Lord Jesus appear physically. And stood at the foot of the man's bed. With something in his hand. Like a small vial or a substance in his hand. And he knew that was the man's healing. And he stretched it out to that man. The man couldn't see the vision. He just knew this man was praying with him and teaching him the word of God. Yet, suddenly he would get up from his sick bed, walk up to where the Lord Jesus was standing, put out his two hands to receive that thing that this other man could see, but he could not see. But there was just an operation of the Spirit. He just go there, put out his hands like this. And suddenly he would drop the hands and say, forget it. That happened like two or three times. And the Lord looked at this man and said, I told you I wanted to heal him, but he wouldn't accept it. That thing knocked me out like, what is going on here? How can the Lord come to give you healing tangible? Then I realized suddenly, that means there was something missing. There was a capacity to accept it that was missing in his life. It was not as if he did not have the desire to be healed. He died, I think, the following day, or a few days later, the man died. And it was never the Lord's will for him to die. And that's why the Lord came and wanted to heal him. But what the capacity to collect then, where did it go? That's my message. Anytime you see great faith, seed was sown at a time. It is the manifestation of that seed, is the fruit of it that we see and call great faith. That's why sometimes we want to emulate what we think is great faith. We don't know that you don't emulate fruit, you emulate seed. You don't wake up one day and try and jump on water. You may survive the first few steps. When the breeze blows, the capacity to look away from the breeze suddenly is missing. Great faith, I found out, is always a fruit. It's never a seed. Nobody wakes up in the morning and suddenly has great faith. No. Jesus said you need to have faith as a seed. As a mustard seed. Another principle of seed sowing, this is where I disagree with most people that preach on seed and all of that in Christianity. Seed, as a Christian, can never be targeted. What do I mean? You can't get up and say, see this seed, I want to use it to get that thing. No, you don't have that capacity. What the Bible says is, sow your seed in the morning. And at night, keep on sowing it. Literally, Solomon said, you don't know the one that will do well or whether both of them will do good. But this is a principle, what he was saying. Sow the seed continually. You cannot get up and say, this money, that's the commonest fallacy we practice in Christianity. This money is my seed for this. We don't have that right. We don't have that privilege, I want you to say, in Christianity. You don't know what which seed will produce. Your duty as a believer is to sow continually. Let me talk about money briefly again. That is why I tell Christians, when they say give one offering and your life won't be the same again, it's one of two things. Either you have been giving many offerings and that one is the last one, or that's your first one and you have to water it for the next 10 years. Did you hear what I said? If they say give 1 million, tomorrow you get 100 million. Just check. Is this my first 1 million? If the answer is yes, you're not getting anything tomorrow. When I get it, people start laughing. Now, I don't mean 1 million literally now. But if this is the first time you want to give, they say give something that will pain you. If this is the first thing that's paining you, it will pain you for a long time. I know what I'm saying. Listen, if it has not been paining you in small ways for a long time, you can't give one today and it will germinate tomorrow. Listen, let's just tell ourselves the truth. If it was working like that, you know every Christian in Enugu will be a multimillionaire. In America, say, forget Enugu. Every Christian in America will be a multimillionaire. All the Christians in Nigeria will be multimillionaires. Why are they not multimillionaires? I'll tell you. Because it doesn't work like that. What I'm going to emphasize is that, listen, the seed sowing of a believer, true seed sowing of Christians, is a constant life. You are always sowing it. You are always sowing it. You don't know the one that will produce the thing that we're talking about. You don't know. Targeted seed sowing does not work for Christians. You can't get up and say, all right, I need a new car. Let me give out a bicycle. Because what a man sows, he shall also reap. If you do like that, you will reap 100 bicycles. It doesn't work like that. A brother gave me money, one small money. I think one of our children was doing something. So gave my wife dollars, like $1, $2. And I say, no, it's not that we shouldn't mind the quantity. That he's doing something. Like he wants to be receiving his reward in US dollars. I felt like saying that, look, God can calculate too. Don't worry about it. The Lord can do exchange. Don't worry about that. It's some of the fetishism we Christians practice. You know, it's not Christianity, actually. It's not. What God gives people is in response to their faith. It's not something that they give. No, go and read your scriptures very well. They asked. And once they could ask in faith, he gave it to them. Are you getting my point? So don't say, okay, I need a toy house. I go and give out a toy house. It doesn't work like that. If you need a house, you know what you do? Ask of me, and I'll give you the mansions as an inheritance. That's how it is. All right? We need to get that clear. I can't say that enough. Because Christians hear the opposite all the time, and they misbehave a lot. And they are still wondering why their lives haven't changed after all these years. It's because you are practicing what is not true. Anything you can't make a habit, don't count on it. What I mean is this. You go to church on Sunday, pastor says, I need 20 people to give 10 million. Say, clear your account, sell your father's land, sell everything. Once you do it, your life won't be the same again. I can assure you of one thing. If you will do it and be in distress, don't bother. It's as if they didn't do anything. People who couldn't do that without the pressure of the promise, are you getting my point? Shouldn't bother doing it at all. If you are doing it because somebody promised a reward, you are wasting your time. Are you saying people can't give out things like that? I never said so. I keep on giving as an example, God forbid, it won't happen in Jesus' name, what I'm about to say. But let us assume my wife is sick now, sick unto death. And they say to have her healed, assuming that it's predictable, there is this treatment we want to use, and it will require me to sell everything that I have. Do you think I will sell it? Do you think I will sell it?
Yes.
Are you sure I will sell it? You're saying I'll sell it. He said, she said that when I'm healed, I will make you a billionaire. Nothing like that. It is just simply that she's my wife and I can't bear to see her suffer. sell land, sell house, sell cars, sell everything. As long as I have that guarantee. Nah, why not? If I'm not even guaranteed, you know, even if it's 50-50, what's the guarantee? You will check it. Let it not be as if we didn't do everything. You will do it. Why? Because of love, not because of any promise. If we can love human beings like that, we can love the gospel like that. I hope you get my point. I remember this man, I'm digressing again, but let me just continue my gist. Brother Andrew, in God's Smuggler. Brother Andrew used to take Bibles behind the iron curtain of communism of those days in Eastern Europe. And he had a car he used to use. Then one day he went somewhere and saw a tiny Bible, a small print Bible, which was about a quarter or one-fifth of the size of the one he normally carries around. Complete Bible. So he said to the people, where can I get this to buy? They said they don't print it anymore. So he went to the printers. They said he had to buy maybe like 10,000 copies for them to print it. Because he realized that each trip, he could now deliver four times the number of Bibles he used to deliver. Meanwhile, by that time, he had just completed a house from money that people sent to him. And his wife had systematically, I don't know whether I get the point, built up the house by herself. You know the way they do on those countries, you know, like she chose the design, cutting everything. The woman was proud that this is our house. When they told him the cost, it was the same amount as if he sold the house. I don't know whether you're getting the point. To print all these Bibles was what he would get from selling that house. So he went home and told the wife, this house is fine. Oh, I can't even give it to God. You know, those kind of, start brushing the subject. He knew how much the woman loved the house. So finally, when they just said simply, you know what, I was just thinking we should just give this money, this house as an offering. The woman got up and said, this is my house. And she walked away from him. And left him and went and hid herself in the room. And the man was now begging God. I beg now, talk to her. Please. Anyway, let's make a long story short. After some days, the woman came out again and said, okay, sell it. Why? He wanted to print Bibles. So that every trip he could quadruple the amount of Bibles he was carrying. If we have to do that, we do it because of what? Love. I hope you are getting my point. Which takes me to the next point. I'm even happy I'm mentioning it. Love, I've talked about repentance. When God reveals our strongholds to us, we take the strongholds to Him in prayer. And let me just say something about strongholds. There are reasons for them. There is a reason why you have that stronghold. And God is saying that, listen, I understand it, but I want you not to, that stronghold has become for you a God. Like the man who said, if I don't go to America, I will not prosper. His prosperity is looking for. And God is not angry with prosperity. What God is angry with is that America is not God. I am God and there is none else. So drop that stronghold. Bear that in mind. Repentance. Stronghold, bring it down to God. Because stronghold is a major fort, all right, fort for unbelief. But I want to bring up this issue. Concerning love, I just spoke about now. Remember I talked about sowing your seed in the morning, sowing your seed at night. We Christians, we sow our seeds continually. I was giving that money as an example. You must make giving a habit. Stop sowing one particular seed. Stop waking up one Sunday morning, today I'm going to sow a special seed so I can prosper during that week. It does not work. It does not work. A few people will tell you testimonies because they are based on what I call prophetic manifestations. And that one you will find out, it's far in between. If you hear it spoken to 10,000 people, it's only directed at two people inside there. Hardly more than five. And for them, it's an end, not a beginning most times. Please bear that in mind. So what do as believers? We sow our seed how? 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 I want to hear one more time. We sow our seeds continually. Don't give because of what you want to get. Become a giver. Are you getting my point? A giver is an attitude, is a lifestyle, is a nature. Those who give because of what they want to get, they are not givers. A giver gives, always giving.
Most times he can't even remember what he gave because it's a habit. That is a lifestyle that produces results with God. Godliness with contentment. That is, once I've done it, I have done it. I'm not worried. I don't care about the reward. Will reward come? It will. Why? Because there's a word of God that says so. But I'm not doing it because of the reward. I'm doing it because I have become a giver. Bear that in mind. Now, talking about the seed of faith, I want to just bring out a particular scripture. Very important, we understand it. Or a number of scriptures. Remember I said every time you see great faith, there was a seed. And that's the seed we're talking about. And as a believer, we must plant our seeds all the time. Quickly, I want us to read two scriptures. Open you first of all to Matthew chapter 8. And at the same time, flip over to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 8 and Matthew chapter 15. I want to just bring out two expressions there concerning the matter of great faith. Let's read from verse 5. The Bible says concerning the Lord Jesus that he entered into Capernaum, and a centurion came to him imploring him and saying, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the man said, "Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed." And that's what he said in verse 9, "I'm under authority and all of that. And I have soldiers under me." In verse 10, the Bible says, "Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, 'Truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel.'" Let me just stop here. I don't want to read the rest of it because my point is clear. "I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel." Go down to the other one, which is Matthew chapter 15. From verse 21, is the story of the Syrophoenician woman. In 21, the Bible says, "Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, 'Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed.'" The Bible says in 23 that the Lord did not answer her a word. "And his disciples came and implored him, saying, 'Send her away because she keeps shouting at us.'" Send her away because she keeps shouting. "And he answered and said, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' And he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.' But she said, 'Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus said to her, 'O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish.' And her daughter was healed at once." I've read these two portions, which we all know very well. Most of us know all these stories about the Lord Jesus. I read these two portions to bring out an issue here. The expression, great faith. That was why I wrote a book titled, Great Faith Can Be Yours. Correct me if I'm wrong, I've thought about it. I'm not aware of him using that expression for anybody else apart from these two people. Now what I want to bring, I'm talking about the seeds of faith. Remember, anytime you see great faith, the faith, there was a season of seed. That great faith is a manifestation of, is a fruit. It's not the seed. If you go and read Galatians chapter 5, in verse 22, he said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. One of them is what? Faith. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. And that tells you there was a seed of the Spirit that was planted. You can't choose the fruit. You can only choose the seed. It's the time of seed you have a choice, not the time of fruit.
I said when Jesus came, the time of seed planting was gone. They were in harvest season. John the Baptist was the time of seed planting. So he did no mighty work, but people were repenting and were being baptized. That was the seed. These two people, the Bible, the Lord said, these people, they have faith. Both of them, they had great faith. What I want you to note here is that none of these two people asked for anything for themselves. Look at it. The first one asked for his servant. The second one asked for her daughter. Did you catch that? The first one asked for his servant. The second one asked for her daughter. And that teaches me something instantly when looking at it. That is, the Bible says that neither circumcision nor uncircumcision profits anything, but what? Faith which works by love. Are you seeing it? Walking in love, therefore, is a major seed of faith. It's a major seed. It's a major seed. One of the reasons why faith has had a problem in Christianity is because most times we are taught to focus on ourselves when it comes to the manifestation of faith. As a young person, virtually all the faith we learned was how to get something for ourselves. To get money, to get healing, which is good. Money is not bad. Healing is good. To get, you know. That's why it was difficult for the faith not to be mixed with covetousness. It was difficult because it was always claim something. You're going, you see a car, you like it, you claim it. So faith message became very popular with wicked people because it was a means to get. And for that reason, it gathered a lot of bad name. Not because the message was wrong, but because the people were not right. Faith was focused on grab, grab, grab. Read the story of faith throughout the life of Paul. You will see that he employed his faith all the time for two things. In fact, for one thing. Well, okay, let me just say a number of things. Let's not count, all right? All of them centered around the calling of God for his life and being a blessing to believers. That's it. Paul used his faith all the time for those things. You see him every time he's talking about his mark of apostleship. You tell how he endured hardship, how he was in shipwrecks, how he was in the waters for 48 hours, how he went often without food. That also activated grace in his life. You know, I wrote something about it then, that what's the mark of apostleship these days? Many pastors think, not many pastors, many people think that a man of God is known by, how do you know a man of God? Title. Title, thank you, thank you. Most Reverend, Daddy in the Lord. Another one, the kind of car, no, apart from titles, the kind of car he drives, the size of the congregation. And that's a sign for many of us who are ignorant that this man is anointed. If I just feel like reading this one for us, it will be interesting. Let's see what Paul said were his signs of apostleship. This just by the way, all right? It's not the main thing we are looking at, but quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You see what Paul said were his signs of apostleship, which is very interesting. Oh, Lord, the Lord is good. He said, I'll rush because of time, all right? He just talking about many things. Verse 3, he said, giving no cause for offense in anything so that the ministry would not be discredited. But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God. In everything. Now, what are the things? In much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God,
by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, and all of that. I'm going to stop here, all right? I just want to show you what Paul said. You want to see that we are true servants of God? It was not in the size of cars we drove. It was in how we handled hardship. It was in how we handled difficulty. One major leak of faith, listen to me, if your faith is all the time being exercised to get you something, your faith can never work strong. It can, no matter how much you practice it, it will not work strong. Many times people, we read books, trying to build up our faith is only purely forgetting. That is so we can acquire some more. It doesn't work strong. It doesn't work strong. You see, Paul, his faith was strong because virtually everything he did was centered around the fact that, listen, I'm an apostle. Nothing must stand between me and fulfillment of my calling. And the fulfillment of my calling. That's what I said earlier. Everything we are doing in life as believers, let's look for the calling side of it too. Listen, I need to emphasize that. Everything you are doing in life as a believer, look at it as a calling. If you can't see a calling in it, find something else to do. Start saying, no, I have to get out of here. If you are going to work every day, and the work is all about, one day I will build a house. Which you pass away, amen. May your house pass away. Somebody say amen. And my own too. Somebody say amen. Say the amen now. It's the word of God. All these things will pass away. There's not, if you like, don't say amen, the house will pass away. Look, don't feel bad about it. Sometimes we behave as if we don't realize what is important. We invest all our time and energy in something that we know will pass away. Listen, there's a reason why God gave us houses, gave us cars, gave us things. It is so that we can use those things to fulfill a call in life. If your life is about, let me go to work so I can get money to eat and drink and educate my children and all of that, listen, your faith can never be great. Faith is only strong, is built strong. Our hearts are ready to receive a pouring of great faith when we have a goal in life that we see as a mission from God. I hope you get my point. Yeah, that's how it is. That's why sometimes unbelievers seem to be able to believe some things that Christians can't. Look at these two people. One was a Roman centurion. The other was a Syrophoenician woman. None of them were Jews. These people were not Jews, yet they were able to connect with something. Let's go back. Look, that first one we read, let's go back to it. Matthew chapter 8. Yes. Please quickly go back to it. Okay, let me just start from verse 10. The Lord Jesus said, he marveled and said to those who were following him, "Truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel." In verse 11, he said, "I say to you that many will come from the east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the outer darkness, and in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And answered the centurion, "Go, it shall be done for you as you have believed." Now, let me say something to you here. You know why I read this? Now, quickly, this is not exactly what the Lord was saying, or it may have been, but I want to apply the principle in there. Let's talk about this mission assignment in life. I said that love is a major seed of faith. All right? Love is defined in two ways. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart. All right? And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And there are two sides to, there are things to draw from each one of them. Loving the Lord thy God with all your heart is, if a man loves me, Jesus said he will do what? He will keep my word. So, you will obey the principles of God and obey his calling for your life. That's love for God. It's not God, I want to give you a kiss. Nothing like that. Love for God is obedience to his word. Obedience to whatever he says. That's what love for God is. Love for human beings is simple. It's trying your best to be of benefit to that person. He's hungry, I want to feed him. He's sick, I want to heal him. She's lost, I want to give her direction. Love for God is anything he says, we shall do. Now, faith, we're talking about faith now, manifestation of faith. Faith is how you draw things out of the spiritual realm down to the realms, physical realm.
I want to apply this particular scripture that you will find unbelievers. They will come from the east, the west, and come and recline with Abraham. But the Christians that God said, do something for me, they will be far away. I'm going somewhere. When a man sits down and says, let us build our nation, God loads faith into his heart. He starts believing for building refineries. Why children, the people of God are looking for visa to America. I don't know whether you caught what I'm saying there. He downloads faith from God to build things on the nation, in the nation. Why the people of God are blessed and praise God, if only I can just have a house of my own. My grandfather did not have a house. Break off this shame from our life. All of you are going to hellfire. That one doesn't bother you. It is the fact that they don't have a house in the village. That's your prayer point. And we gather every, listen, if we gather, listen to me. I want to say this as a matter of fact. If for a year, churches gather every, their night vigil that they have maybe every Friday or every month, and the prayer point is everybody pray that God, though, in this life, I will affect this generation for you. The gift of God inside me must be manifested. If we pray for 1 year, this nation will change. They won't know what's going on. Why is not changing as much as it should have changed? Even though many of us go to church, is that we still are not praying the right prayer points. The prayer points are still majorly focused on two things. One, kill my enemies so at least finally I can prosper. And then number two, please help me to prosper so I can eat some more extra. Is it only my neighbor that the children can go to America for holiday? God, wipe away this shame. Begin to pray. That is why you will sow seed. Because, and you know why God is making you sow those seeds? So you can become poorer than before. That is all. But if you say, God, forget my neighbor. Forget the witches. Will a man just leave? Will a woman just leave and say, all I live for was I ate, I drank, and I died? No. Listen, I'm saying this to you. Great faith is something God pours into our hearts as a fruit for having sown the right seeds. That's what I'm teaching. Great faith is something God pours into our heart. And listen to me. When that faith is there, oh, that's where I'm going, no? When that faith is there, you will ask the Lord and he will give you the nations as an inheritance. You will ask the Lord and he will give you the ends of the earth. Listen, let's talk about developing a nation. Buhari can never develop a nation. He's but one man. There is nothing, listen, what do you call our former minister for power? Professor Nebo. Some people like to criticize and insult and abuse. Me, I like the man. I liked him because I know him to be a true Christian. He's not a joker. He used to be my neighbor. I did not know he was going to be a big man. I've been greeting him better. That's what the Bible says, so you're greeting in the morning. And at night, keep on greeting. You never know. My wife will remember him when we were living in Transekulu those days, only for a short after we came to Enugu. When she and I would go around jogging in the morning, he also used to go around walking with his wife. And he had a rule. That's how you know a true Christian. He had a rule. Anytime he's with his wife, he must be holding her hand. You know when you're going exercising? In the morning, you are walking. They are walking with hands locked. You know he's not lying. He's a true Christian. Any man that can love his wife like that is of God. All these wicked souls, they don't like their wives. They don't love their wives. No, that's my reason for believing that the man was a true believer. And then one day, Kingsley had a letter for him. Then it was DVC in Esuth. After that, he now became the vice chancellor in UNM. So one of those days, Kingsley, one of our brothers here, and I, we went to see him. So when we got to his house, he had a letter from him from Abuja. And they came to see us, you know. There was a way he spoke. You know, this man really believes. You understand my point? And Kingsley was greeting him and he began to talk about the glory of God, how it's important to reflect some things. This man is not lying. He knows the Lord. Amen. Amen. And one day they said, I should come and preach somewhere. Why? Because Professor Nebo could not come. So they said, please, Pastor Banky, come and preach. Because Professor Nebo was going to be absent. So that day when I was preaching, his wife came for that meeting. And I greeted and gave him a message. Please greet Oga for me. We used to be neighbors, but I didn't see the future. The Lord is good. And that just by the way, I just used it. So I greeted her that day. Now, so I believe the man to be a true believer, all right? So when he became minister, he said that he's going to cast out the demons from power sector. When the brother went there, he cast out the demons. But he did not know that beyond the demons, there were some principalities. When the man finished casting out the demons left and said, bro, no wahala. He said, we should go. We will go. Then you will now find out that we are not your problem. It is your fellow Nigerians. By the time the man was done with doing everything he could do, I believe, as a Christian in that office, just before they left power, he confessed that it seemed that people just determined that things will not work. He confessed. That is as if people have just made up their minds that this country must not go forward. If you are waiting for a government to change the country, forget it. So let's stop waiting for one government to change anything. That's what I'm trying to say. Let's stop waiting. God does not expect that to happen. God is saying that if I'm going to transform the place, it will be because you and I stirred up our faith. He was complaining that he said there was none that stirred himself up to take hold of him. We need to stir ourselves up, stir up our faith to download the blessing of God from above. This is a duty we have as pastors. Let me tell you something. As ministers of the gospel, our duty is to every day say to the cities of Zion, behold your God. If we preach the balanced truth all the time to Christians, they will arise and they will change every nation. That's what I'm saying. We are the ones that hold the key for the redemption of every nation. But my message is that it's not by energy, it's not by a political campaign. Your job is to build up faith and then ask the Lord, and he will give you the nations as your own inheritance. That's what I'm preaching today. Your job is to ask God, having built up your faith, if you say, God, let's take a practical example, education. We can improve it like this, like this. Lord, you know Bishop Oyedepo? How many of you know Bishop Oyedepo? I know he's not your friend. You heard. He's building universities now, all right? One thing I like about it, personally, is that I heard him say this thing more than 20 years ago. He said he'll go to Arabas University, and he'll look. I said, there is nothing there. We can do it. Anywhere he'll go, he'll look at university. I said, there is nothing there. We can do it. Everywhere he will go, he will look at the university and say, what is in it? We can do it. So now that he began to do it, I don't know whether you catch what I'm saying. I was personally excited. Next time you are going for holiday, whatever, stop going to go and look at kangaroos and hippopotamus. Stop going to lie on the beach, you are black. You know, some people don't even know why white people lie on the beach. Now see some black kids lying on the beach. You are too black to lie on any beach. You should run when you see the sun disappear. The sun doesn't even want you. Stop going to lie down. If you go on holiday, for example, if you go to China as an example, next holiday, don't move around anyhow. If you're the type that travel, go to China. Visit a factory. And just look at it and say, there's nothing in it. We can do it. Go to India. Walk around some factories and say, there is nothing in it. We can do it. Go to one hospital where everybody is flying from here and going there. And walk around the hospital and say, there is nothing in it. We can do it. You know what you are doing? I told you, experience in life, God uses those things to provoke faith in you. When you come out from the place and say, God, give me Scotland or I die. That was what John Knox said. You identify your own field. You are God sent into manufacturing. Say, Lord, give me this thing or I die. That's what they call faith. That's what builds faith up. All these kuru-kuru, let me tell you, this faith you are using to believe God, I need a new car, in the name of Jesus, I claim the car, I claim it, motor car, motor car, motor car. If you will use that same faith to believe God to build factories, you would never think about buying cars. It's how many will buy. Okay, our manager, which type should they be using now? Okay, all right. The managers, no, that's not good for their status. No, they have to move around a lot. That's what you'll be discussing. It's the day they start insulting you that you're flying private, you realize you're flying private because you thought it was normal transportation. You know, it's not good to be poor in this life. Oh. You know, when you know how poor people want to talk. Well, can you imagine? Do you know how much it is to fly from here to there, you, private jet? Meanwhile, if they are just gone to Arik, how much are people charging now? How much are people charging from here to Abuja? 27,000. You see? Arik could have carried them for 27,000. The man now fuel for only him to go to Abuja and back is 700,000. Can you see how they are wasting money? Once you're talking like that, just know you are poor. You are announcing your poverty. Because the man that flew and burned 750,000 naira to go to Abuja and back. Go and check. He discussed and invested and did things that are going to create jobs for 500 extra people over the next 3 months. One of them is your cousin. The other one is your nephew. Oh, one is you. But because you abused him so much, God won't let you take the job. Like one of my friends said, they're in their company. They can warm up a jet to fly only you to go and get the signature. Yes, to carry you, go pay a flight, do everything. Maybe they've burnt like 1.5 million. He said, but their company makes $30 million a day. Every day they don't function is $30 million. Please, I don't want to hear any poverty talk here again. You, let me tell you what God will do to you. You will be insulted in newspaper for flying private. Say amen. That's punishment for your sins. For all the days you are abusing other people, God will say, pay him back. Ask of me. Let me summarize my message. Let's go home. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for an inheritance. Let's rise to our feet. We have to close. Look at the time. Let's rise to our feet quickly. Somebody say faith.
Faith.
Say destiny.
Destiny.
Say faith.
Faith.
Say calling.
Calling.
Say faith.
Faith.
Say mission.
Mission.
By faith, you activate your destiny. By faith, you walk in your calling. By faith, you fulfill the mission that God has for your life. Begin to give him thanks. Say, Lord, thank you. Like I said, listen. Say, Lord, lead me to the faith. Yes, that's a good way to pray it. Say, Lord, lead me to that faith with which I will change my own world. Say, Lord, pour that faith in me. Why I say lead me to the faith that God will start showing you, oh boy, forget this area. Forget this thing. Stop saying this. It starts correcting you with repentance. Bring that stronghold. Remove it from your heart. Walk in love. Walk in love. Walk in love. Have a plan to be a blessing. And then kneel down and say, Lord, give me Scotland or I die. Say, Lord, bring forth the resources with which I will fulfill that calling. That's all faith is about. Faith is not extra food. The same faith you exercise trying to get a car. Use that faith and build a factory, and you'll be buying cars for people. Say, Lord, the spirit of faith, the spirit of boldness, I receive it. The spirit of faith, the spirit of boldness. Say, Lord, I take hold of the spirit of faith. I take hold of that spirit of faith. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we have prayed. All right, the Lord is good. It is well with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life.
And God will pour the spirit of faith to get the nations of the earth subjected to you. He will pour that thing into your heart in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare to you that greatness is your portion. Greatness is your portion. You will fulfill your destiny. Nothing will move you away from your destiny. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that nothing will move you away from your destiny. Paul said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you your own inheritance among those who are sanctified. Listen to me, you are being built up in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And you will receive your inheritance in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I feel like saying this to somebody, be bold. What did I say?
Be bold.
Turn to your neighbor, say, be bold.
Be bold.
Say, be bold.
Be bold.
Say, be bold.
Be bold.
The Lord is with you.
The Lord is with
say, be bold.
Be bold.
The Lord is with you.
Be bold.